Transition Radio from San Diego, exploring the world of change with you. Are you ready to take your life to a new level? Join transition coaches and best-selling authors Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster as they explore strategies to navigate changes in health, relationships, money, career, and so much more. Get the information and tools to make your life smoother, easier, and more productive. And now, your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
Welcome to Transition Radio. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Paula Shaw, here with my co-host, Kendi Foster. And we've got a lot to talk about today. In studio with us, our guest is Tim Starr, and you'll be hearing a lot from him about the truth about transitions and how to make them more smoothly and more positively.
So what is the truth about transitions, Paula?
Well, let's say we could probably easily say they're never really totally easy because we humans have this love-hate relationship with change. We need it or we'll get bored to death. But on the other hand, we don't like the discomfort that change brings. We like the familiar.
Isn't that the truth? And you know, I love the title of our show, Truth About Transitions, because in that word is truth. And I don't think anybody can make a transition unless they acknowledge what is not working in their life, right?
Exactly.
So we have to bring it to a conscious awareness. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how many people go through lives, right? And it's under the surface, but you know they never bring what the core issue is to the top of the surface to acknowledge it, so that we can actually make the change. And actually, you know, you and I were talking on the way down here about the Me Too campaign that's going on in the world.
I was just thinking about that.
And just, aren't you thinking about that? Because, you know, what's happening is that is being brought to the surface. Mm-hmm. All of the women that have been abused sexually by men over the years.
And harassed.
And, you know, and it's coming to the surface now. It's coming to the surface. Not to bash men, it's coming to the surface to heal this crazy culture that we have that allows this kind of abuse to go on.
One of the things that I found most touching on Facebook on the different posts, several men have posted apologies and just beautiful statements honoring women and saying how appalled they are that this kind of behavior has gone on. And it's been going on for eons. You know, it's not new, but isn't it wonderful that we live in a time when these issues can come to the surface for healing? Because for so long, it was all swept under the carpet or pushed down or not spoken about.
You know, it comes from a culture, and I grew up in this culture, of lack of respect, not just for women, but for ourselves, for our nation, for our families. You know, there's just lack of respect that goes on.
Yeah.
And when we start to, you know, it's like the locker room talk that is, quote, okay. It's not okay. You know, that talk is talk that really is disrespectful to people that to our women or to people that we love.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens, that's just the first step in it then, right? That's giving permission to something in this culture that ends up in abuse, mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually.
Right.
Right.
And you know, it's an interesting thing about humans. We're adaptable. And on one level, that's really a good thing. Mm-hmm. On another level, that means we can come to accept the unacceptable by adapting to it. There was a very interesting story about an experiment that was done with frogs. They put them in this body of water and raised the temperature right away. And the frogs jumped out because they knew there was danger. Then they did the same thing, but just gradually increased the temperature a little at a time. And the frogs stayed in until they died, literally being cooked. So, you know, it speaks to this thing that we can adapt to unacceptable ways of behaving. We accept the unacceptable because that seems to be the norm. And that's what so many women, I've also been reading about Harvey Weinstein and all the abusive, horrible behavior that's gone on around that.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of it was just that, accepting the unacceptable because that's sort of the way it was in Hollywood. You know, I used to work in Hollywood and the casting couch stories were rampant.
Right.
But everybody kind of laughed about it, you know, and nobody really knew any specific details. But wow, what a time we're living through.
It's a crazy time.
People are standing up and saying, no more.
No more to abusive power.
Yes.
Right. Whether it's a power in the home with a male dominating the home life, or whether it's in politics, or whether it's in our spiritual lives, in our churches, no more abuse of power. I think, you know, that's really the stand here.
Yeah, it's so
true. You know, it's impacting us in so many ways, but it is coming up to heel. You know, we do live in a turbulent time right now, and it's like these little tornadoes are flowing through our lives in so many different ways. I think it's easy to point to Harvey Weinstein and go, oh, look at the bad guy here. I think we all need to point the fingers back, okay, to ourselves and ask ourselves, you know, in this turbulent time of change, how can I change? You know, how can I own up to my own stuff, acknowledge it, and make the changes so that not only our families get better, but our communities and our nations start to thrive in a much greater way.
And it has to begin with individuals. You know, we're always looking out there at the masses and seeing what they're doing. But, you know, Gandhi said it, many wise men have said it, wise people, I should say. There are wise women out there too, by the masses. So wise people have been saying since the beginning of time, go within. Make the changes within yourself, and that will ripple out and affect change in the world.
Absolutely. So what does it mean to go within? Let's talk about that for a second. You know, there's a practice that I do every day where I start, I meditate. After I meditate, then I contemplate. Okay. A lot of times what I'm contemplating is what's working, what's not working, where can I improve? And there's a deeper part of that, though. There's the part of going within and just asking, what is it that I need to acknowledge that in my own life is needs change? You know, what do I want to change, right? So when we can do that, and by the way, I've been practicing that for 20 plus years, right? So what happens is that there are a lot of things I didn't want to look at first, and there's things I don't want to look at now, okay? I'm not perfect by any means, but what happens over time is that we do start to change and our lives start to get better. In fact, you know, you and I have talked about this before, Paula. When we change, we're not only changing ourselves, we're changing our families. We're changing the consciousness, we're changing the stories that happen in our families, whether they're with us or they're 10,000 miles away. When we change, they tend to start changing too. It's very interesting.
It really is.
You know, I spent the weekend with Gene Houston. I'm not sure how to even describe Jean
Houston.
Is she
a futurist?
She's a futurist. She's a author of many, many books. She's grew up in Hollywood and has many stories of just this incredible life.
Is she related to John Houston?
She is.
I thought so. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I take that back. She's not related to John Houston. Her husband was Bob Houston. And Bob was he was a comic writer for Bob Hope. He was involved in that.
All right.
Another one of her husbands was a professor, and he wrote like 30 something books. So yeah, lots of different stories. But the bottom line with Jean is she's a believer, and so am I, of quantum physics, right?
Oh,
of how we're all connected at these different levels, right? So it's like what you're thinking and how you're thinking today is not only impacting you, it's impacting others, right? I mean, we can see this in our families. It's not too difficult to know if you walk in a room and somebody's angry. You can kind of feel that. You know we're all connected.
Sure.
They don't even have to say anything, right?
Right.
Okay. But in this sense of connection, this is what we've lost, I believe. In our society, we believe that we're individuals on an individual path, as opposed to a collective group of consciousness of individuals all lifting each other up for higher causes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
When it becomes all about me, then things like sexual abuse happen. Okay. You don't think about the impact of that little child.
Great point. Great point. And that your actions have repercussions down the road.
Generations.
You are creating
generations.
The future. That's right. Absolutely, generations. You know, in quantum physics, one of the experiments I loved was how they split a small particle. I can't remember if it was an atom or what it was. Somehow they were able to have one part in one place and another part like 20 miles away. And what they did to the one half, the other half felt,
right,
even though there was a huge distance between them.
Right.
And I think, I mean, that's, we're made of thousands of billions of those atoms or photons and bosons of energy. And the bottom line is everything in the universe is particles and waves of energy. And you can't affect one part without affecting other parts. Yep. So the good news of that is if we change a part of us for the better, we are. I mean, like we're sitting here right now all within 10 feet of each other's energy fields.
Right.
Everything we are doing and feeling and emitting right now is impacting each other.
Absolutely.
So that's why it feels so good to be around positive people. And it can be painful sometimes being around somebody, not somebody who's just hurting, because I think it's really important to support people when they're in emotional pain, of course. But you know, we all have those friends who are chronically either, what's the term when you go on and on and on about something? Oh, shoot, my mind just
chronically
like,
complaining.
Yeah, in misery. So, yeah. And that doesn't feel very good when you walk away. Mm-hmm. You almost need to dust yourself off.
Mm-hmm.
So I say we've got somebody with us right here that's going to be speaking to us in the next segment who knows a lot about how to deal with change and how to deal with life in a positive way and bring those positive energy particles and waves onto the scene in a more powerful way.
Absolutely. So we're going to raise everybody's vibration up in the next segment. We're going to be talking with Tim C. Starr, and we're going to be talking about his book called My Name is Prosperity. And if you want more of that in your life, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster. Would you like to help someone in need to move from poverty to prosperity? Stars of Courage, a 501c3 nonprofit, is looking for established life coaches with experience in education and career mentorship to build confidence and create clear paths to success. Join our team of experienced coaches in a wide variety of fields, equipped with warm hearts with a passion for lifting up those in need. Our Stars of Courage. Find out how you can make a difference at starsofcourage.org. That's starsofcourage.org. We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now, here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
Welcome back to Transition Radio, where we are talking about the truths about transitions. And today, we have a very special guest. His name is Tim C. Starr. And Tim, at the age of 54... lost a job of 15 years. It would be almost 2 years before he worked again. But he never suffered the usual depression or feeling down that a lot of the experts said he should have. Instead, he began asking himself why he felt so good. And he realized that the materials he'd been consuming since he was much younger had been programming his mind to have a very different perspective when transitions happen. That perspective saved him from immeasurable amounts of stress, anxiety, and grief. So Tim is here today to share some of those ideas and strategies with our listeners so that you too, when you go through transitions, can save yourself anxiety, stress, and grief. Tim, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Happy to be here.
So glad to have
already.
You here, Tim. Yeah, it's a little wacky and wild here, but we do cover some important stuff.
Yeah.
And actually, Tim, I was reading something on your website that I thought was so fabulous, that you were saying one of the truths about change, and that's what we're all about on Transition Radio, is talking about change and trying to figure out ways to make change smoother and more productive. You were saying the truth is that change brings a choice. One choice is you can go into denial, be miserable, hope it'll go away. Yeah. And the other choice is accept it, manage it, make the best out of it. So Is that just an easy, natural thing for you, or how did you grow into that?
Oh, that's a tough question. Yes and no. Is it easy and natural for me? Some things it's much more easy to do with. You know. And you were talking about looking at the process that you go through and questioning things about yourself. And that's a piece of it. You know, if you're dealing with something that's with a change that's difficult, then it's not maybe not so natural.
Right.
You know, and you have to be more conscious to question what you're thinking about and how you think about these things. So hopefully that answers your question, but it's something that can be learned.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Why do so many people have such negative perspectives about themselves and others in life in general, even when they are going through transitions? They're just kind of...
It's programming. We're all, you know, we come out of the womb and we're happy to smile and you know, when we're kids... We're crazy and everything's in your imagination and you play and everything's possible. And then as we age, we're taught not to look at things that way. Mm-hmm. And we're taught to be careful and we're taught that, oh, that can hurt you. And why should you be happy? You know, what are you smiling about? And it's programmed out of us. Mm-hmm. And then it gets reinforced daily, hourly sometimes, by the environment and by our friends and family and people that you're around. Mm-hmm. And that program just gets stronger and stronger and stronger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I hear you saying is, and fear is programmed into us.
Sure.
That's interesting. Is fear natural?
Well, we all have that fight or flight mechanism that's hardwired in.
Right.
And I think the basis of that is fear.
Mm-hmm.
So our initial reaction to anything new at some level, whether it's conscious or unconscious, our initial reaction is fear. Mm-hmm. And we say, well, I don't want any part of that.
Right.
Doesn't matter whether logically it makes sense that it would be good for us.
You know, there's a lot of fears that people don't even realize they're in fear. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then people suffer far more than they need to, but they aren't even aware that they're suffering a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And I come from a blue-collar environment, huge blue-collar environment, south side of Chicago. And that's kind of the norm, at least in my experience. You know, you don't even know that you're unhappy sometimes. You know, and I read a book from Robert Ringer, who is looking out for number one. And I guess he caught a lot of flack for the title because it sounds like, oh, wow, you don't care about anybody else. That's not at all what it is. But that book answered questions I didn't know I had. Mm-hmm. And
what kinds
wasn't
of
looking.
Questions? What kind of question?
Oh, that's tough. It's been so long, but I know that I came away from that book, and I started, and it was a page turner. I couldn't put it down. Uh-huh. It's the closest to anything I can point out that has changed my life.
Wow.
But, you know, I love that you couldn't even go there, because a lot of times when we read books like that, we integrate it into us, but in the time, in the moment, it's that place where we're becoming aware. You know, and like you said, you know, a lot of people just aren't aware. You weren't aware of what you weren't aware of.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And, you know, I had somebody ask me a couple of days ago about, you know, what was the day, what was the big turning point for me in terms of when I deciding I wanted to bring this stuff to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had to tell them there really wasn't something like that. It was a gradual, I don't have these epiphany moments, really. I things just sort of sneak up on me and all of a sudden something's different.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that. But
I love
that happens
a lot.
It's
like a path of realization. Mm-hmm. One realization. And
little bit
next,
by little bit.
Little bit by little
pieces.
Bit. Yeah.
One of the
yeah.
things that struck me when you talked about that title, Looking Out for Number One, that many of us were brought up exactly the opposite. I know in my family, it was God first, others second, me third.
Mm.
That's how we were raised. And this idea of looking out for number one was considered selfish.
Yeah.
But what I now realize is if you don't take care of yourself and that well goes dry, people can line up with their little tin cups and need something from you, and there is no water to give.
What can you do for other people if you're in a bad place? You know. Yeah. So
let me ask you this, Tim. So in your experience, once somebody does acknowledge that there's something underlying, whether it's fear or anger or stress or grief or whatever it is, how do they change? You know, do you have any practical steps that people can take to make the change?
Yeah, you know, I start from the assumption that what we all really want is to be happier today than we were yesterday, mm-hmm. happier tomorrow than we are today. And the problem is that most of us, we're not consciously aware of that. And even if somebody said, you know, what you really want is to be happier, okay, but how?
Right.
You know, so you have to start, at the beginning. You have to crack the door open a little bit and let some light shine in. Mm-hmm. So I give people some simple things to start with. You can affect, as an example, it's the mind-body relationship thing. Your mind can affect your physical state.
Mm-hmm.
Most people have had the experience of when they're kids of not wanting to go to school that day because there's a test or somebody's right. waiting for me or something.
Yeah, you get a sore throat.
And you talk yourself, Mom, at first it's a lie. Mm-hmm. I don't feel so good. But you talk yourself into the physical reality of having a stomach ache or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you can do the same thing in the other direction.
So say more about that.
You can, if you want to, and if you practice it a little bit, you can talk yourself into physically feeling better.
Mm.
Mentally, absolutely. Just,
right,
you know.
Right.
And you can do other things. I love these, like, power moves. My favorite is the Yul Brynner stance from The King and I.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Hands on his hips.
Oh,
and,
that one.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you can just sort of stomp around the room like that and with your legs apart. And I do that at home, and my dogs look at me like, who is this lunatic? But
and
you can't.
Going,
oh yeah, you cannot do that and not smile.
Yeah,
you're gonna laugh at yourself. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, that's, you got to start with little things like that.
That's mm-hmm. really good. That's good.
And you know, it's so important that the mind and the body are so connected. I personally have walked on over 100 yards of hot coals, and they were 2,000 degrees and up, and I never even got a blister. Mm. Now, I never thought that was going to happen in my lifetime. But when you realize that the mind actually gives you that kind of power, and it can take that power away too, right? If the mind is working in a negative mode that's disempowering you, saying, oh, you can't do that, or who do you think you are, right. that kind of thing.
Right.
It's just the opposite of the Yul Brynner sort of strut.
Well,
right?
it's the whole law of attraction things is so accurate, you know, whatever terminology you want to give it and whatever label. The stuff that you focus on, the kinds of things that you focus on primarily, mm-hmm. are going to influence what comes to you in the future.
Right.
And sometimes the future is
mm-hmm.
only a few seconds away.
Mm-hmm.
If you're focused on, oh, I got this giant problem, and what do I do now? And, oh, again, here's something. What's next? Universe is going to give you what's next.
Mm-hmm.
And if your focus is, well, I got this thing. Yeah, I don't like it, but I'll deal with it. You know, where, you know, and if your eyes are lifted up a little bit away from that ugliness,
mm-hmm.
all of your opportunities and your solutions and the possibilities are all, you know, in a different place. And if you're not looking for them, you're never going to see them.
Yes.
That's your answer to getting out of the funk and stuff. You got to start looking in a different place.
You know, I want to get to your book, and I know we're going to be doing that in the next segment, but there's a, what we're talking about here is, in my languaging, is being able to raise somebody's energetic level to a place where they can start to make really good choices,
yep.
which result in a better lifestyle. Is that what
Absolutely.
I'm hearing here?
Absolutely. And the, you know, the great thing is when you start to learn these little techniques, it's the rising tide metaphor. You apply it to one issue in your life, which is really what I recommend. Just focus on one thing that you want to work on. As that starts to get better, everything else will all by itself
right.
will start to get better, and things don't bother you like they did, you know, a week ago. This thing would have driven me crazy. Today, okay.
Right.
So before we end this segment, how do people find you?
We're really going to ask that question in the next segment. And if you want to find out a little bit more about Tim, too, you want to go to mindsetmissionary.com. where you can actually book some time with Tim. So we'll be right back.
That's what I was asking.
In our next segment. All right. Sorry, Paula, if I interrupted you.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
Baby boomers, are you prepared? In a recent study from Transamerica, 45% of baby boomers are expecting a financial decrease in their standard of living after retirement. If you live into your 90s, you can go without a paycheck for 30 years. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton from Sexton Advisor Group. With almost 20 years in the business, I can answer your retirement questions. Get your complimentary retirement guide by calling 1-800-560-2611. That's 1-800-560-2611. Or go to SextonAdvisorGroup.com. That's S-E-X-T-O-N advisorgroup.com.
Is living in today's fast-paced world making you feel stressed and out of balance? Are anxiety, sleeplessness, depression, lack of focus, or weight gain robbing you of your relationship and your energy? If you're ready for change, you need to call Paula Shaw at Rebalancing You. Paula helps you identify and eliminate self-sabotaging thinking and behavior. Using a wide variety of mind-body techniques, she provides her clients with the most effective processes for their specific needs. To book a rebalancing session with Paula, call 858-480-9234. That's 858-480-9234.
We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
Welcome back to Transition Radio. Our show today is talking about the truths about transition, and we're here with Tim C. Starr, who has written a book called My Name is Prosperity, The Law of Attraction Story. Now, that is a great title because one of the things I think everybody hopes for is a transition that will take them into a greater state of prosperity.
Sure. And I think that's what we're aiming for all the time.
Yeah. So how do you help people work with that?
You know, it's like any program that is about change, you have to first recognize, well, I guess first you got to recognize you have an issue of some kind you have to deal with, but you have to recognize that you have personal responsibility in where you are in the moment and where you want to go to. It's your life.
Right.
Nobody else can do it for you.
And yet so many people don't think they have choice about that, Tim. So many people think, well, I just got to accept whatever is. Mm-hmm. What do we do with that?
Well, you got to get input from different sources. Mm-hmm. We think that way because that's what we've been trained to think.
Yeah.
Right? Explicitly or not. But when you know, rule number one, turn off the television news.
Oh, yay!
Turn off. Just turn it off. I haven't watched it in 3-4 years.
I haven't watched it since 9/11.
There's nothing there that's beneficial for you. If there's anything that's important, you're going to hear about it through friends and Facebook and whatever else.
Right.
So the problem with that is that it affects people. It's designed to give you a jolt, which is basically an adrenaline rush. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if it's good or bad. You get addicted to that adrenaline, and you can't walk away from it. So turn that thing off. Start getting some different input from different sources that makes you think a little bit. Some of it might be a little bit painful because it's going to point at you. Mm-hmm. We are all responsible for where we are. And if we don't like it, we have to do something different. So then you start experimenting with who's out there, what kind of materials, how do I consume it, whether it's audio or video or, you know, there's so much stuff on YouTube, you'll never get done. Books, you know, CD. Find somebody that you resonate with. Find somebody that sound, you know, when they speak, you go, you know what, I like that. That makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. And don't worry about what anybody else says. Just find one person.
So two of the most important things I heard you say is you got to get out of victim mentality and out of fear. Right? Because those two things will stop you in your tracks and make you feel like you have no choice except but to accept.
And the way you do that is you have to get different input.
Right.
You have to hear from other sources that maybe things aren't the way you think they are.
Right.
In your book, you have a chapter titled Serenity. What's that about?
That's one of the characters in the book. There's basically it's sort of a parable. It's written in first person. I go to a party in Texas. I end up going, and I don't know anybody there.
Is this a book about you?
It's semi-fictional, semi-nonfiction.
Okay.
There's pieces that have happened to me, and other pieces that I would like to have happen to me. And,
okay, got it.
But there's, I meet a woman at the party named Prosperity, and she has lessons to teach, and she introduces me over the course of a long weekend to three other people, and they all have their lessons in different areas.
I got it. Okay. And so Hale is in the book.
That's kind of focused on health.
Okay. That's great.
You know, so. I kind of wonder, talking about this whole thing about life circumstances, why do you think so many people end up in careers or lives that they don't like?
I'll speak for myself, I tend, or have to this point, tended to just sort of accept whatever's come along. It hasn't been a very intentional set of choices.
Well,
I didn't. I've never sat down and written out, okay, here's how my life is going to go. Here's, you know, and so it's been a very sort of reactional kind of way of going about it.
Living in circumstances.
Yeah, yeah. Just and I'm really good at dealing with whatever's just right in front of me.
Right.
But yeah, and I think that kind of applies to a lot of people. They just, you know, what somebody offers you a job, okay. It's better than what I'm doing now. And is it going to take me in a path that I want to go to? I don't know. I'm not thinking about that.
Right.
Well, it sure applied to me the first part of my life. I can assure you that. And I think you're right. You know, there was a part where just day in and day out kind of just showed up, right? Showed up and handled what was in front of me, and that was it.
I don't
think a lot of people really believe that you can intentionally create your life by taking full responsibility.
Yeah.
Is that what you did? Is that what happened to you?
It's still in transition.
Progress,
you know, I'm still doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A big piece of, there's so many things, but a big piece of, in my mind, the reason why people don't want to take responsibility is because along with that word comes the ideas of guilt and punishment.
Oh, yeah.
If you're responsible for something, then you're guilty of something, and so you need to be punished.
Yeah.
The reality is if you're questioning something, if you're in pain, you're already being punished. It's already happened.
That's interesting because I think that, you know, the guilt, like I was raised Catholic, so I got my good dose of that. And, you know, I'd never thought of it in those terms that, you know, to really grow, you almost have to get rid of the guilt. Is that
it doesn't serve you going forward.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't help you to grow.
Right.
It's fine as a lesson. You know, I don't want to go back and repeat that mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But to go from here to there, that won't help you.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to focus on what you want.
When you're coaching people, how do you help them work through these kinds of things?
That's a good question because it depends on the person.
Uh-huh.
And what I try to do really is to sort of create an individualized program for them. Because everybody operates differently. Everybody responds to different sorts of input. So we have to, you know, in the beginning, you have to spend time talking to people about who they are and how they got to be where they're at and what's their perspective on their situation now.
Mm-hmm.
And then try to find the insights to get in and see what's going to help them.
But you believe that through positive attitude and intentionality, the kinds of things you're talking about, people can live really positive lives and have
you can
the
change your life around so fast. One of the great things is you don't have to believe it. You do not have to believe it. All you really have to do is be willing to give yourself over to something for a little bit and see what happens. Experiment.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you, because you know this work is not easy sometimes with these clients, right?
Sure.
Yeah, you get clients that show up, they've got a lot of stuff. So what makes you want to do this work?
It's partly the story where I lost that job that I lost was I got a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Today's your last day, go home.
Mm-hmm.
No warning, no nothing. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was completely unexpected. So then I didn't work for various reasons for another 2 years. And I realized during that time frame that, you know, the reason was I had a different perspective because I'd been consuming this material since I was a kid. My mother, bless her, had turned me on to different things. And it had stuck with me. And then that came along with the realization that, you know, I come out of an area where people need this stuff desperately. But there's no thought that there's something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to help them. Mm-hmm. Anybody, I really identify with anybody that would self-label as working class,
mm-hmm.
Even though I haven't done that work in mm-hmm. 20 years.
So let me ask you one more thing.
Sure.
Like, who can benefit from these? I heard you say middle class, but, you know.
Everybody. I mean, it applies to everybody.
From the ideas in the book and what you're working with?
It applies to everybody. It's really, I kind of have to circle around to whose presentation resonates for you. There's no one way to do this stuff. Mm-hmm. There's no wrong way to do this stuff. If you do something that doesn't work and maybe you feel like you've gone backwards a little bit, it's an opportunity to learn something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're all on a path of some kind to try to improve who we are, what we do, we want to feel better about our contributions to the world, you know, and...
You know, what I get is I don't know if we're all on that path, because I think a lot of people the consciousness they're born with and the consciousness they die with are about the same. Mm-hmm. But I think what you're speaking to are those people that probably listening to this show right now,
it's probably the
perfect time, perfect place to think about maybe reaching out to Tim or buying his book online or possibly. I think you got a freebie that you're going to give people.
Yeah.
You want to tell them a little bit about that?
And the book is available on Amazon?
It is. Yep.
Okay, great.
And the book's name is My Name is Prosperity, A Law of Attraction Story by Tim C. Starr. Yeah. So, Tim, tell us, I know you got a giveaway. Let's talk about that.
If you go to timcstarr.com/anxiety, and Starr is spelled with one R, there's a free download. It's how to relieve anxiety about anything.
Oh, that would be
four steps, and it's a how-to. It's not like fluff. And wouldn't it be nice?
Uh-huh.
It may or may not work for you. I can't promise, but I can promise that if you apply the principles that are in there, you'll see something happen. And if you're really entrenched in something, that's what happens a lot, is that you see small things change. You know.
And anxiety is the hugest emotion, I think, that comes up when we're dealing with change, because it's that fear of the unknown.
Yeah, and anything that you're facing that you don't know the outcome brings anxiety, and anxiety creates stress, which basically it's the physical manifestation
of
anxiety.
So let's give him that website again.
timcstarr.com/anxiety. That's Tim, T-I-M-C, as in cat, star, star.com/anxiety. Get your free download there and reduce your anxiety today. Absolutely.
And how about the Mindset Missionary?
And also, we can reach Tim at mindsetmissionary.com if you'd like to have a session with Tim, find out more about his work. I guess Mindset, M-I-N-D-S-E-T, missionary.com.
Beautiful. Tim, thank you so much for being with us
today.
Thank
you for having me.
Your positive attitude certainly blessed our studio today. It was lovely being with you.
Absolutely.
Thank you
so much. And I appreciate the blessing. Yes, okay.
Damos Padre.
And we'll be right back with our sponsor coming up, Steve Sexton of the Sexton Advisory Group. We're going to be talking about your money and the truth about transitions with money.
Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
There's a question many of us ask ourselves when we are grieving. When will this pain ever end? Life transition coach and grief recovery specialist Paula Shaw wants you to know there is light at the end of the tunnel. In her new best-selling book, Paula gives you information and practical exercises you can use right away in your recovery process, including breathing methods, the emotional freedom technique, energy psychology work, and many other healing tools. Grief, when will this pain ever end? Available now on Amazon.com.
We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now, here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
And welcome back to Transition Radio. We are in studio now with Our sponsor and our favorite guy, Steve Sexton of the Sexton Advisory Group, because it's time to talk about our Smart Money segment. Steve, so glad to have you here.
Well, thanks for having me here, Paula.
You know, we've been talking a lot about the truths about transitions, you know, how change comes, what it brings, and how we receive it. And let's face it, change is a good thing when it keeps life interesting.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of times, change is a pain, right? It's suddenly thrusting us into a new situation and one in which we're not familiar, and so we're uncomfortable because we like the familiar. And I know you, Steve, have shared with me some changes that have come in your own life and in the life of your family that kind of represent one of the things I was hoping to talk about today. Like, when change comes, especially change in health or loss of a job or something that's going to really seriously impact your money, how do you handle that? What do you do? Our guest, Tim, has been talking to us about how to handle those changes in as positive a way as possible to create more positive outcome. But that's tough when you're ill or when your job's gone.
That's true. You know what? One of the things, I forget the name of this movie. It was a John Wayne movie. And the bad guy said, you know, it's your fault, my fault, nobody's fault, anybody's fault. Okay. It just doesn't matter whose fault it is. You have to move forward. So like when I woke up from a surgery that I probably wasn't supposed to woke up from and found out I had colon cancer and all that kind of good stuff, it's what, you know what, my question is, what do I need to do? So part of it is a state of mind. The other part of it is realize what you have and then figure out a plan for it. Because at the end of the day, you know what, who's going to give you a helping hand? Either your family or it's going to be at the end of your arm. So you have to figure out how to move forward. Because you know what? These tragedies we see in the hurricanes and stuff like that, even in Las Vegas, in a short period of time, people forget. So now you're on your own. You got to make it work. Hey, GoFundMe page is gone, all that kind of good stuff nowadays. So you have to sit down and go, what do I have and how do I proceed? And what's the best strategy for proceeding forward? Now, some of it is, you know, for some people, it's how do I deal with this PTSD event? I will never forget watching somebody get shot. Okay.
Right.
I will never forget that first time I got fired or you got fired or anybody else when the guy goes, you're not cutting it. You're out. Or we're making a decision and that decision's not in your best interest, even though you did a great job. So when it comes down to making smart money decisions, first step is don't panic. Take an accountability of where you are. One of the things I really love about these tragic events is people say, we lost everything, but that was material. I have my wife and I have my health. That's all that really matters.
Right.
So understand you're still here and that's really all that matters. Now you have to look at a step forward. So like for my brother who has stage 4 melanoma cancer and they were treading life, we set up a GoFundMe page. They created, I think, $12,400 towards his medical expenses, home expenses, and stuff like that. And they're in a position now where they've actually done another garage sale. At first, I'm going to say my brother didn't want to sell his cool stuff. But now he's realized, you know what, in order for us to be able to make it work, even if I have disability, okay, and I can't get that paycheck, and I'm on disability and won't be able to get enough money, We're gonna make sure we have enough money to cover those things so we don't lose our house. So if I happen to walk out on life, my family's going to be covered. So it's a process, but it's also an attitude. And that attitude, you can't say, woe is me. You can't blame it on the current president or the current system or the city you're in. Because you know what? They don't care. You just got to move forward. So to make the smart money decisions, understand where you are, figure out where you have to go, and what are the little steps you need to do to get there, and do it with as much positive attitude as you can.
Well, one of the things that occurs to me, especially in the situations you've described, there's a lot of emotion going on. And people don't think very clearly when they've got a lot of emotion going on. You know, what do you do if you're dealing with a client who's just suffered the loss of a husband or loss of a limb, or like your brother finding out that he's got a serious diagnosis?
Well, you know what? The best part about that is I know somebody like you. Because I am not a psychologist. Right. Right. I know somebody like you. I know somebody like Ken, who I can say, hey, look, I have an ensemble of people who can sit down with you and help you through this. I can handle the finances. In fact, if your husband passes away, guess what? You're probably not going to do anything for 6 months financially anyways. Mm-hmm. But you need to grieve. You need to deal with that. Yes. And you need to learn how to get the tools and the skills to develop a path forward. Mm-hmm. And that's where you come in, Paula and Ken.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve. So let me ask you about where you come in. Okay. We have, in California, we have 5,000 people that just lost their home, right? Mm-hmm. Northern California. Mm. A lot, they're burned out, right? How can you, as a financial guy, help some of those people?
Help them think logically. Mm-hmm. First of all, they're really emotional. Some of them may have even got clothes out of their house. That's it. In fact, I already have one phone call from a personal friend that wants us to take over everything. And basically, their winery's done. Okay. Oh. But I said, don't you have insurance for these structures? He says, oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you're not thinking clearly at the time, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And you know what? They even had somebody that was a insurance, claims, independent claims adjuster that wanted to come in and take care of everything for him. I said, hold on, don't do that. You will lose money that way. And he goes, why? I said, first of all, your insurance company is under a lot of scrutiny right now. They're going to make sure you get taken care of for that fire insurance. You don't need this other guy because it's going to take just as long, maybe even longer, because they have to deal with an intermediary. Oh. And in fact, 2 days afterwards, the people from the insurance company were up there at them at his hotel, making sure he had the money to cover the hotel, living expenses, buying some clothes, things like that. And he says, you know, once they allow us to get in, we can do an assessment on the fire and we can do an assessment on what happened with your winery and we can start getting things rebuilt. And they said, well, how long do you think that'll all take? He says, well, the money's the easy part. It'll probably take you a year or two to rebuild. But the thing is to have somebody to go to be able to answer those questions when you don't know or you're just frazzled.
Exactly.
Well, there's so many questions when you lose your business, you lose your residence, you lose your possessions. For a financial guy to help you with that, I'm just thinking, you know, so I've lost my house. Now I've got money in the bank. Do I spend that money rebuilding the house? Do I wait for the insurance people? Do I move in with family members? What, you know, do I now take some time and reassess my investments, right? Because the market's here, you know, it's taken, you know, it's gone way up. I don't know.
You know what?
You know,
you're just echoing the conversation I had.
Okay.
So here's the big thing. It's going to take a year to rebuild. So basically, the insurance person says, you know what? When you're ready, you need to go find another place to live for a year. So first thing is to go find another place to live for a year. And guess what? The insurance is going to pay for that. Okay. Two, then it's going to go get somebody, assess what the damage is, go get the architectural people to create the rebuilding, you know, the model for rebuilding, because it was a custom home, custom winery, the whole shot, all the way down to the wood fences that went around the whole thing. And you know what? They're just hoping 25% of the vines are going to be okay. But you know, those are questions that you need to sit down with somebody who knows somebody who can answer them for you.
But see, what I was going, Steve, is that when life circumstances change radically like that, and you have investment portfolios, don't those investment portfolios, don't you need to review those? I mean, sure would.
You do. You're going to have to figure out how to supplement your income. But again, there's a lot of insurances that if people done properly, business insurance, loss of use, all that kind of stuff, you're going to get paid an income. So you might not have to take anything out of there. Okay. The key is to find out where you stand with all your other insurances and then figure out how it affects your nest egg, your portfolio to help you get where you want to go.
I can see when you were talking earlier about people not being logical, I can see people thinking, wow, we just lost that. We need to sell out everything in our portfolios and sit on the sidelines, go to cash, maybe not make right choices.
Yeah, you know what? And that's circumstantial. But again, they need to sit down with somebody and have a logical, calm conversation about the reality of their situation. And to understand where things are coming from. And the nice thing is, even if your documents are destroyed, hey, I have a policy over at ABC Insurance Company. All I got to do is give them a call. They'll have your social security number. They'll have your address.
Oh,
they'll be able to pick it up from that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's a lot. It's, it can be a lot less stressful than people think. And in fact, the questions you're asking right now are similar questions that I've heard before.
Yeah.
Back when the fires here in San Diego, I had clients in Fallbrook. Yeah. When I was an executive at AAA, there was people who called and I said, hold on a second, this is what your policy covers.
Right.
Steve, now, people want to reach you, how do they find you? Can you give them that information?
Well, basically, they can go to information@sextonadvisorgroup.com. Again, that's information@sextonadvisorgroup.com. Or if they'd like to call us, it's 1-800-560-2611. That's 1-800-560-2611.
And you have a GoFundMe page to help your brother with those medical expenses. And can we give our listeners that information as
sure.
well in case they would like to contribute to help Ed with his medical expenses? Ed and his lovely wife, Amy, who I've come to know, they're really wonderful people in Indiana, right?
Uh-huh. They're in Warsaw, Indiana.
Yeah.
And basically, it's Ed's GoFundMe page. It's Ed's family medical expenses.
So it's they go to GoFundMe.com, correct?
Mm-hmm. And Ed's family medical expenses.
Okay.
You'll fabulous. See them. They have the picture of them with their Boy Scout uniforms on.
Oh, I have seen it. I love that picture. And Steve, thank you so much for being with us again today and giving us some golden advice. Because a lot of what I heard you say really, I think, helps take the panic out of something like mm-hmm. that happening.
Oh, yeah. And then I just want to say one thing.
Yeah.
Ken wants to really ask what what do you do financially? That might be a third or fourth step. You have to get all those other things first.
Mm.
And a good advisor will know, hey, you need to take these steps first so you don't go nuts and make the wrong decisions and have your money fall through the cracks.
Great.
That's great. Well, thank you all, Steve. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ken.
And Tim Starr, thank you for being with
Tim
us
Starr.
Today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now
so we
you
hope
know.
You'll continue to listen to us. You can get our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and about 13 other podcast sites. You can also go to transitionradioshow.com, and you can download any of our past episodes, and we have some really amazing ones. Steve's given us advice consistently on our transitionradioshow.com downloads. So we hope you'll join us and tell your friends on Facebook, on Twitter, and everybody else. Give us some likes. And reviews.
Now you know the truth about transitions. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us.